This is a HeadGum Original.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I'm going to show you something beautiful. Everyone screaming for mercy. You want to protect the world, but you don't want it to change. You're all puppets. Tangled in strings.
It's the end. The end of the path I started us on.
Nothing lasts forever.
Yes, this is the 8th episode of our 5th season. We are working our way through the Marvel Cinematic Universe with the help of fellow newcomers, super fans, sometimes people who've contributed.
And this season will be 20 episodes long, so we're going to get to as much as we can. We can't get to everything, and
No. We
are okay with that.
Yes.
Today we're going to be discussing the second Avengers movie, Avengers Age of Ultron, came out in 2015. You can get it on Disney Plus and for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV Plus, Google Play, and Vudu.
We are going to spoil it. So if you want to watch the movie first, you can do that, or you can just listen and have a nice time. Lauren,
what
are your initial thoughts?
I actually thought this was kind of fun. I know you didn't. I thought that there were some moments that I enjoyed. I actually liked the James Spader AI robot situation. I actually thought that that was pretty entertaining. However, and I sort of liked the real life moments that they had, like when they went to the guy's house and like that kind of stuff. But overall, I would say it was like an hour too long, as we know they all are. I watched it over two nights, which was my best choice because sometimes when I'm really tired and I put one of these on, it's like so hard to watch it. So I actually was able to stay awake in a good way. I paced it out for myself, which was helpful. But what did you think? You hated it.
I really didn't like it. The Elizabeth Olsen's accent was so weird and strange.
I have questions about that.
So many questions. Yeah. Who was the dialogue coach? They should be, you know, walked into traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't like the action in this one, and I also didn't like the non-action parts.
Yeah.
So that's the movie.
That's the whole thing. And I think that her accent is from a fake country.
But, oh, okay.
But then I'm like, so make it something she can do. You know what I mean? Like, it was like hard.
She was struggling.
It was hard. And I wonder, and I was like, does Wanda on WandaVision have that accent? No, right? Because I haven't seen
it. I don't think so.
I haven't seen anything like that. So I'm very curious about how that connects. But you know what? We have the perfect guest today because
we do.
We are joined by our very own Marvel expert and consultant, Leah Marilla Thomas. And don't talk yet, as you know. Look, she's the first person to not try to talk yet because she's like, I'm here every week. I understand how it works. So Age of Ultron is a slightly controversial part of the MCU. So we thought it'd be best to have Leah chat it through with us. And Leah is an entertainment journalist and a writer, in addition to the resident Marvel expert, as we said, which has been very helpful throughout this whole season. You've been chiming in, giving us lots of tidbits and info to keep us on track. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I mean, I'm always here.
Oh, my God. But it's special today. It's really special. Tell us, what was your first experience with Marvel? How did you become a Marvel expert?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I was not, you know, really a superhero person. I'd seen like some Spider-Man movies, some X-Men movies, and I did not really like the concept of secret identities. It really bummed me out when the whole conflict in superhero movies is just like, oh no, they're going to find out who I am. So when Iron Man came out and at the end he says, you know, like, fuck it, I am Iron Man. That was interesting. And that kind of hooked me on this series.
Yeah. I mean, I personally liked that moment too, but I also think that's hysterical that was an improvised moment. Like they weren't going to have him say that. And then he's like, fuck it, I'm Iron Man. They're like,
I'm Iron Man.
That's good. Keep that. We like that.
So yeah, I've seen them all. I've seen, I think, yeah, every Marvel television show. As part of my job, I've done lots of like Easter egg guides and recaps and explainers. So I'm in it.
Who's your favorite character from the universe?
Peggy Carter.
Who's that?
And who is that?
Captain America's girlfriend.
Oh, that old bitch?
Yes.
We know her.
She has a spinoff television show on ABC called Agent Carter. And that is my...
She does?
Yes.
There's
it's my favorite piece of Marvel content.
Much content.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. But wait. What? So is the actress from the movie on the show?
Yep.
Oh, good for her.
Yep. And is she's not old? This is like old timey?
No, it's like, yeah, it takes place in the 40s. It's about her like living her life, being a spy, getting over Captain America, like I guess dying because she thinks he's dead.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
She's
I didn't
like
know
other
that
boyfriends.
Was a, like,
it's lovely.
I didn't know this was a show and it's on
Me
ABC.
Either.
And it's like, I watch things on ABC.
It's as if ABC betrayed you.
Yeah,
like, I watch
why didn't
things
they tell
here.
Me?
What?
Bachelor, A Million Little Things. I have a lot of...
So, wait, did she have this show on ABC? Wait, is ABC part of Disney? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Well, they really figured it out, didn't they? They were like, let's just swoop up everything.
Everything.
Oh,
wow. Disney is going to just own everything.
Well, buy me. Daily Bugle time?
Yeah. Daily Bugle. It's our new segment where we're going to give a recap of what's been going on lately in the MCU. Okay. First topic. Deadline announced that Marvel Studios is developing a project around the Marvel hero Richard Rider, aka Nova, for either film or television. Nova, a member of Nova Corps?
Everything's a question.
Law enforcement. We're introduced in Guardians of the Galaxy, led by Glenn Close. Okay.
Why do they all have names that are just like Richard, Steven?
Yes. Everyone's
like,
just
your name
very
could be
normal.
Anything.
And it's there's like, multiple, too, because like there's multiple Peters. There's multiple Richards.
That's so funny. Is it because Stan Lee was doing this in 1955 and he was like, everyone's name is Dick and Sally?
That's funny. Dick and Sally.
So here's another bit for y'all. At the red carpet event for Moon Knight in Los Angeles, Oscar Isaac posed with a child cosplaying as his character Mark Spector, a.k.a. Moon Knight. How kind.
Oh, that's nice. Very kind. Honestly, this child looks creepy.
Now, did I see that Ethan Hawke was at this premiere? Is he in this show, Moon Knight?
He is. Or
was
he's it? The villain. Yeah.
Okay, I
Ethan
like
Ethan Hawke's the villain? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We watched the trailer and it looked pretty decent.
Right. I liked how that one looked, actually, because it was kind of about, like, he's like, I've got multiple personalities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I'm into that.
And I have
extent.
Seen the first four episodes of Midnight.
Oh,
Viking.
Is it good?
It's pretty good.
Based on what we have been liking and not liking, do you think we would like it?
There's a little, oh, I can say all this because it'll be out. Yeah. There's a little bit of romance.
Okay.
It's got Indiana Jones vibes. Do you guys like Indiana Jones?
Never
no.
seen it.
There you go.
No.
I don't think I do, but I saw it when I was a kid, but I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's also fairly
newcomer
like,
season six.
Yeah, there's four of them. It's also fairly like straightforward. You know, there's only one character. That's not a lot of people coming in. So
see that
I guess
like.
That he does have multiple personalities or DIDs. Well, so there are other people coming in, but it's all him.
That I can get behind. I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another little tidbit. On Instagram Live, someone asked James McAvoy. Is that how you say it?
McAvoy?
Oh, God. God, McAvoy. That is, yeah, of course that's how you say it. If he's in Doctor Strange Into the Multiverse of Madness, his answer, no. Why
is that interesting?
Is?
this is the thing. This has become the news. I've been trying so hard to avoid this type of news because that's all it is. But all people want to do is ask actors if they're in films and then catch them in a lie if they're, you know, like Andrew Garfield went through this with Spider-Man.
Oh, he said he wasn't in it and then he was.
And
then he's
was.
Like fucking he is Spider-Man.
Interesting. Okay, well, I guess you can't even say, we'll have to wait and see, because that would mean that you are, and then people would you get in trouble.
But who would he be in Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness?
He'd be like the younger Professor X, like he is in
because,
First Class and stuff.
But isn't that, Disney owns Fox now. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy.
Oh my God. All right. Well, here's another thing. When asked what he could share about Thor, Love and Thunder, director Taika Waititi said that it's not finished. The film will be released in July, and Waititi joked that he would get it done probably in June.
I love it. You know,
that
you love
realistic.
Someone who's like successful, who's confident. I love it. He's like, whatever, it'll get done. Don't worry about me.
He's everyone's favorite, and I want to know why it's called Love and Thunder. Now, do you think that he's going to make some thunder in bed with Natalie Portman?
Ooh, maybe he'll put down a different hammer on Natalie Thortman. Portman. Wow.
He's going to lay down the hammer in bed.
I think in this movie, Jane becomes Thor somehow. This is not my area of expertise, that particular comic. So I think we now have to call her Natalie Thortman.
Okay,
I love it.
It's been decreed.
She becomes him.
I mean,
okay. Kinky.
Sounds a little hot. Although I gotta say, Thor's hair in Age of Ultron would oscillate between like straight wig and then like beach waves, and I was like, who? It did the continuity on this is nuts.
Yeah. I want to get into everyone's looks and everyone's vibes. We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back with Age of Ultron after this.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform. Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Okay, Age of Ultron was written by Joss Whedon, directed by Joss Whedon, released on Joss Whedon.
He did the first Avengers, and I really didn't like it. I think he must be stopped.
Yeah, I think people were trying to stop him recently. I don't know what happened with that.
He's pretty much stopped, but they stopped at this point.
Yeah, so this came out May 1st, 2015. Mm-hmm. Let's jump into our plot here.
Okay, so in light of the events of the Winter Soldier, the Avengers reassemble to track down and eliminate Hydra again. More of this fucking Hydra's remaining members. Mm-hmm. Their latest mission brings them to a location of Loki's scepter, a fictional Eastern European country called Sokovia.
There you go.
Sokovia.
What is it?
Sokovia.
Sokovia. Do you have like heartburn every time I pronounce something?
No, but sometimes so I can sort of like anticipate which paragraphs you're going to read and I go, oh no.
I like this. I like when you get to a hard word.
It's so hard. Oh,
I like what you make up. It's always more fun than the real word.
Lauren, definitely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, this fucking scepter that seems to be so important in every movie is in the possession of Barton Wolfgang von Strucker, played by Thomas Creature Man, one of the last remaining heads of Hydra, who's been using the scepter to build weapons and experiment on the people.
Okay, so during the battle, without Strucker's approval, two of his agents join the fray. Pietro and Wanda Maximoff, Sokovian twins, who gained supernatural powers via Strucker's experiment. Pietro can move at superhuman speeds, while Wanda possesses a powerful plethora of psionic powers. When Tony Stark finds the scepter, Wanda uses her powers on him. In a vision, Tony sees his teammates dead or dying while the Chitauri launch an even larger invasion on Earth. So this is when everyone started having visions.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And then there is one part where she is introduced and then moves. They just like rewind her back through a door. And I don't think I've laughed harder. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Also, I didn't really I was like, okay, so she's like an enchantress or whatever. She can like bewitch you into dreams. But then I was like, why do I need to see the Avengers bewitched? Why can't we just see it later? I guess, I don't know. I just didn't need to see all of them bewitched. It was dumb to me.
I agree because I feel like not all of them paid off. Like some of them, we saw what they saw and we saw them deal with that. And they had to go like I feel like Thor, it was like a really big deal to him. Mm-hmm. But like other people, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, they were like, I see myself doing something fun later. And then everyone else was like, horrible. Horrible stuff's gonna happen. I don't know. It was kind of silly. And I have to say, like, before we started recording, we were talking about like how we don't love when all these Avengers get together.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just feel like sometimes they get a little corny when they're all together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Cause there was that whole runner of like, don't say bad words. And I was like, what the fuck?
Just about to bring that up.
What is
and,
that?
Like, Oh, go ahead, please.
That language moment sort of followed around both Steve Rogers and Chris Evans for the longest time. And fans loved, like, anytime Chris Evans says a bad word, they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, no.
It's awful.
Boy, that's so poor annoying. Chris Evans.
Even this movie, like, eventually proves that that's not, like, who he is. But
that's really funny. I feel like, wait, was it this movie or another one where they were all trying to pick up the hammer?
It was this one.
Okay, that was this one. Yeah.
They all start playing together. But I was like, okay, like that was like an improv scene. Like it was like a group game. And they're like, how would your character try to pick up the hammer? It's like, this one's like, no, I got this. You know, it's like, okay, you guys, yeah. Like this is just a little bit silly.
That whole sequence was improv. There was a point where they had, what is his name? Who's Iron Man's friend?
Rhodey.
Yeah. So Rhodey was like, and then that's when I said, boom. And everyone's like, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, cool.
Totally.
So this wasn't scripted. And you could tell by his face, Don Cheadle was like, all right, I guess if you want me to fucking keep making up shit, here's this.
And totally.
Like rolling his eyes.
It was totally what was happening. It was so weird. And then I guess that whole point of that scene was just so that later when the robot picks it up and it's really easy, it's like, okay, so he's really strong and you guys aren't. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, but yeah, I know. Like, I don't know. Yeah. There was just something about that was very...
Well, he's worthy. We'll get to that later.
Worthy!
Oh, okay, worthy. I
didn't get that. Okay, we have to get back.
Okay, so the Avengers arrest Strucker and return to Stark Tower. Now, the Avengers Tower, which is like, what?
It's like their house.
Yeah, like, what's going on? In Manhattan with the scepter, Stark and Bruce Banner begin studying the weapon. They discover that the gem in the scepter could be used to develop artificial intelligence. The two scientists extract the gem for use in Stark's secret peacekeeping program called Ultron. Also on board is Dr. Helen Cho, Claudia Kim, who is a geneticist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Leah, they live in Avengers Tower. That's just
yes.
like their house.
Yeah, that's like their
it's
hangout.
Their house,
do they live there
office.
All the time?
Well, according to fan fiction, yes.
Oh, for sure. If mm-hmm. I was going to write fan fiction.
There's so much Avengers Tower fan fiction. It's its own genre.
Because it's like a condo building where they're like, we have a pool up at the top where anything mm-hmm. can happen. And then there's the gym. You'll always run into one of the other Avengers in there because they're always working out. And mm-hmm. the doorman's got everyone's packages, but he mixes them up sometimes. And somebody got Bruce Banner's dildo. And, you know, it's just a disaster.
It should be like the circle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love the
Wouldn't
circle.
Wouldn't that be great?
Do you see how I light up at the worst shows ever? I'm like, the
you
circle.
Really did light up at
I know.
The circle.
It's so bad. That's why no one who cares about this can really get upset if we don't like it because we have crazy taste.
Yes, we do. Very bad. Like, I love 90 Day Fiancé. I think it is poetic.
Okay, yeah. So they do live in Avengers Tower, but they move to another house at the end of the movie, right?
Oh, okay. Okay, yes. Well.
But they were there.
Okay, so the Avengers throw a party with their various sidekicks. At the party, the Avengers mingle and cover a wide range of topics. Jane and Thor's relationship status, Steve and Sam's search for Bucky Barnes, as well as Bruce and Natasha's feelings. The party culminates in a contest to see if any of the drunk Avengers can lift Thor's hammer.
I just was like, not here for this scene. Also, there was a bunch of old people there, and I was like, are there old people so we get Stan Lee in here? He doesn't have to always be with old people. He could just be a person.
Yeah. I also think like there's nothing scarier. I mean, and we're improvisers, but I feel like there's nothing scarier than this movie with a blank page where they go, and this part, you're just going to make some stuff.
This is a millions of millions of millions of dollar movie. And we just want you to make it up as you go.
Just go. Just see what you guys play with when you go pull the hammer. And the hammer will be made of styrofoam. So just don't really let it be lifted.
Yeah, don't touch it. And then somebody almost moves it and Thor's like, oh no. And then he's like, ha ha.
Captain America.
I was like, oh my God.
And it is crazy that none of them can't even move it an inch.
Well, because it's not about strength. It's about being like pure of heart or something.
Okay. Well, I remember
in Thor how he had to just like prove that he was
a good
person and then he could wield it.
Okay. I missed that as part of what matters about that hammer. So that's going to be a key detail later, I think.
Maybe. Yes. Is
well,
it?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Okay.
I mean, I watched the film.
I watched it too. And that's why I was just like, okay, maybe I missed something.
Well, like they definitely made a big deal of it when Ultron or whatever was throwing it to him at the, like, you know, that part where he's like tossing it to him.
Yeah.
Or not Ultron, Jarvis,
no,
or whatever.
The red man.
Yeah, Vision. who also looked like he was from the Bodies exhibit.
Yeah, I was not here for that.
I was like, that's their main source of inspiration for like half the characters in this, is the Bodies exhibit.
The Bodies exhibit. Okay, so
what was his name? Vision?
Vision.
Oh, his name is Vision?
Like WandaVision.
Oh, shit.
So spoiler alert, that's Wanda's husband.
Oh. Well, that is a spoiler. I mean,
he was just like created. He's a baby. She's way older. Seems nasty. I mean, he's also annoying. He's like, is death what you're afraid of? No,
I know.
What we're afraid of is the sky, birds, trees, life. I hated him.
He was more annoying. I liked the bad guy.
I liked the bad guy too. Ultron, James Spader, he gets suddenly activated.
This
I hopped
right
back in.
This part was fun. I thought this was exciting.
I did like this. So he quickly absorbs all the information in the world and determines that the only way to save Earth is to eradicate humanity, which is like a lot of bad guys' things where I'm just like, this is pretty dramatic.
Everybody gotta go. It's a huge thing that you want to happen. I mean,
you know, and then Jarvis attempts to stop Ultron, but the more powerful AI appears to destroy him and then takes control of one of Tony's Iron Legion robots. Ultron attacks the Avengers, knock-kneed and kind of like drunkenly stumbling around, but then he like flees with Tony's Iron Legion.
Yeah, this part I thought was very exciting. Like they were having their party and then I guess it was supposed to be Iron Man's costume or something. And it like goes like, hey, I'm sentient now. And then they're all like, oh shit. And then it's like way better than all of them. And that I thought that was fun.
I thought it was a little fun. I didn't like how, like, I don't know, he looked like a rag doll. He was like, oh, I've just cobbled myself together. I'm just, like, really discovering how bad and nasty I am.
It does seem fairly realistic, though, that if artificial intelligence absorbed all of the internet in a minute, they would decide to just kill everybody, though.
I mean, that seems like what I want to do when I look at the internet too much. Like, I'm like,
you go on Twitter, you're like, well, end it.
I'm like, yeah, we should all stop this now.
Yeah, I guess if I was artificial intelligence, I'd be like, everyone here is pretty stupid. So like, they gotta go.
Don't you feel like, I don't know, like I just pictured the internet actually being gone and like the level of peace I would feel at home.
Mm-hmm. But then I'd be like, what's everyone doing?
I know, but you just wouldn't know. And then you'd have to call someone and be like, do you want to hang out? And then like you would have less FOMO because you'd maybe hear about something that happened, but you maybe wouldn't.
Oh my God, are we Ultron? Are we trying to get rid of the world?
Yeah. All right. So here's my paragraph. Mm-hmm. Ultron recruits the Maximoff twins in Sokovia, who reveal that they have a vendetta against Tony Stark because a Stark Industries bomb killed their parents, and that Wanda let Stark take Loki's scepter with the hope that it would make him self-destruct. After Ultron kills Strucker in prison to lure the Avengers out, he and the twins travel to South Africa to acquire vibranium from arms dealer Ulysses Claw, played by Andy Serkis, who blows me away.
Yeah. He's great. He's a great actor. He's fun. And then I was like, oh, so, and then they mentioned something about vibranium, like being used to make the shield or whatever. And he was like, you made a dumb frisbee or something. I don't know. I just,
happening. We're getting into the answers that you have been demanding for weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, I didn't really get an answer other than, like, why did NovaCorp? Who made this
Howard
thing?
Stark.
Howard Stark made the shield?
Iron Man's dad. Yeah. And I don't think they ever fully say whether or not he, like, bought it or, like, bought it. I think he must have stolen it.
So, about Tony Stark, he's bad. Like, I think Robert Downey Jr. is so likable that I have this feeling, and now Iron Man is a hero. He's a superhero, but he's got a very bad history. Like, I feel like a lot of them don't have such a bad history. He literally caused destruction because he made bombs. Like, I mean, I guess he in his first movie, he was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. But like, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. Yeah. And he's still like destructive. He's like, but then the part where he's like, hey, how fast can we buy this building? And then he like breaks it all down, like the whole building. I'm like, well, he has good intentions, I guess. Like, he's like, I'll buy it. And then it's my problem or something. But I was like, I don't know. He's like a kind of like bad person, it seems like.
Even the idea to like put a, what did he call the Ultron? Like put a shield of armor around the world. That's still militarizing the planet. it's still bad.
Yeah. I think ultimately, like, I love the actor, but the character, I have problems with some of his core beliefs.
Same. And then also, yeah, his dad and him sold, you know, weapons of mass destruction to people.
Yeah, bad. And of course, we have the twins' parents killed. These twins are in love with each other, correct?
They love a handhold. And did they kiss at one point?
He tenderly touched her face. I submitted it to Siblings Are Dating, which is my favorite Instagram account.
Twins who are dating. What is it?
Siblings or dating. And then the person who makes it will post a picture of a couple and then put a poll. Like, are these two people siblings or are they dating? And because the poses people are in, and they either look a lot alike or they're posing really weirdly. And then you find out they're siblings. Or you find out they're dating, but they're like twins. It's just the best account.
That's very funny.
It's very fun. And some of them are like disturbing. Like, you'll just be like, these people are siblings, yet they're like, like kissing each other. It's just like sick.
Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson did play a married couple in another movie. So
they have tension. They have a chemistry that already exists. Wow.
Interesting.
What movie was that?
Yeah.
Godzilla, which I think came out the same year as this.
Okay. What? That's crazy to have them cast in two things that huge playing.
No, it was a year before, but still.
I think that's insane.
I think it's pretty funny. It's like, we were kissing, now we kiss in a different way.
Well, yeah, and I guess they'd already been cast because they were in that post-credits scene.
Right.
Winter Soldier.
When she was like, la, 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 la.
Okay, so more plot summary. After explaining that Klau stole vibranium from Wakanda... and both Steve and Tony were led to believe that Howard Stark got the last of it, the Avengers head to Johannesburg to stop him. Wanda uses her powers to wage psychological warfare. Natasha's taken back to the Red Room in Russia. She's Russian? Where she was trained by an assassin, Madame M, Julie Delpy, who was on, I think, Angel and Buffy.
And she's from... Before Sunrise with Ethan Hawke, which I love those movies. Have you seen those?
I do like her. I have not seen those.
Oh, I love those movies. They're really romantic and good.
Ooh, then that's like right up my alley.
You should watch. There's three of them, and they take place 10 years apart.
Ooh,
and with
what's
the same
actors.
Again? It's called Before Sunrise. I think the first one is Before Sunrise, then it's Before Sunset, and then it's Before Midnight. And so the characters reconnect 10 years later in real time. Like, they like made another one, and then they have the characters come back. It's really fun. And now also, didn't Natasha have an accent in like the first movie that we saw her in?
Did she?
Her name is Scarlett.
She might have, but definitely does not have an accent in this one. No, ma'am.
No. She doesn't try to have an accent. No.
Also, again, her wigetician said, I will do you no favors. That wig is bad.
I'm blown away. I'm just like, are we not at the point, like, just in past the year 2000, where, like, every wig should be great? Like, what are we doing? Like, it's like, you're in Marvel. It's like, it's going to be a great wig. Like,
spend some money.
I don't know. I know that I've heard of, like, certain actors that people I know who have worked with were like, oh, yeah, she wears a wig in every movie, and it's a, you know, $10,000 wig or whatever. And it's like, she just never wants her own hair to be done. And it's just part of the deal. And it's like, it seems like Scarlett Johansson would be in a position where she can say, I want a really amazing wig. I don't know.
One would think.
Every movie gives her a different hairstyle and a different love interest. It's
wild. Because she was like, I thought she had a necklace with like an arrow for Hawkeye in some movie. Now she's trying to fuck a fucking green dude.
The dynamic between them in their romance, where she's like, I love you. or like, I'm really into you or I adore you, but I want the big guy or something. And she, mm-hmm. and she like, pushed him over the cliff and like he came back as the Hulk. And I was like, yuck. Like,
yeah, I, a so lot weird. Of what she did was nasty. She was like, let me fuck you in the shower. You shouldn't yeah. have showered alone. And I'm like, girl.
I know.
Have some respect.
And then does he turn into the Hulk when he's horny?
I think so. We famously didn't watch The Incredible Hulk, but I'm pretty sure that that's like a thing.
Because they were
he'll
kissing.
Just get too excited.
Yeah, because they were
and
kissing and she
just
was like,
can't fuck at all.
Yeah. I don't know what she called it because they were kissing and she was like, don't. I don't think she said don't get big because that's stupid. But I think she said like.
Probably. There's so many weird dick jokes in this movie. I wouldn't be big. Surprised.
I think she was like, don't change. And he's like, I'm good, yeah. I'm good, I'm good. It's like, okay, so that means he's like, baseball, old ladies. Like
old ladies, fucking grocery shopping. So Steve imagines that he's returned to the 1940s with the war over and Peggy still waiting to dance. Thor sees a frightening Asgardian party where Heimdall tells him that everyone's dead.
Oh. And when Wanda then hypnotizes Banner, turning him into the Hulk and sending him to attack Johannesburg.
Is it Johannesburg?
Is it?
I thought it was Johannesburg.
Is it? I think Johannesburg. Did I say it wrong? Johannesburg.
No, you might. I think you said it right.
Or should I say it Johannesburg? And then people can decide what they heard me say. Iron Man decides to call in a special suit named Veronica, which subdues and defeats Hulk. But the destruction they cause starts a public backlash against the Avengers, who are forced to go into hiding. Triggered by something he saw in Wanda's vision, Thor does not join them. So they go to this farm, which I guess we'll get into in a second. But now, is this the part where Iron Man was riding the Hulk around the mm-hmm. buildings? I was like,
yeah,
what?
In like
what?
A big suit.
Like, I was like, are you on a team together? Like, what's going on? Like, does Hulk just lose track of like who's on his side?
Maybe?
Yeah, because he doesn't have the same, he doesn't have Bruce Banner's brain. He's like his own.
Oh.
The way that Natasha is attracted to him and then he also turns into this is like something that's so weird.
What did you guys think of the lullaby that she does to like get him to turn down or like,
oh my God, wait, what was it?
It was weird. Hey, big guy, sun's getting real low.
Ew!
She just like kept calling him big guy, and it was like so uncomfortable for me.
I agree. Yeah. I thought that was super fucking weird. It's like a woman, like it's like a metaphor for like nurturing your husband's abusive side. She's like, I need
calm
the
down, big
guy. Yeah, it's okay, big guy. And then Sun's he's back to normal self. His normal self. And he's so boring as himself. Like Mark Ruffalo is so charming. Yes. This character just doesn't do it. Like it's just there's nothing for him on the page.
I think the only part I really like of his in this film is towards the beginning where he's like listening to classical music on big headphones to chill the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's relatable to me.
The part where in the beginning, I think it was, where he like turned back from the Hulk to himself. I didn't know what was going on at all for some reason, even though I've seen him do that. Mm-hmm. I was like, ew, what is he doing? And then he like plopped down and he was himself. And I was like, this is sick.
Well, it was just like a weird transformation. He's like grabbing on tree branches and his veins are green. And
yeah.
It wasn't for me.
I agree.
Okay, the team takes refuge at Clint Barton's farm. I was like, what the fuck? Where they meet his pregnant wife, Laura, and his children, Cooper and Leah. Lila.
No, I wish. Just kidding.
Sorry.
It was you.
Lila. Yeah, imagine it was you. You're just like in the movie and you're like, that's my dad, Clint Barton. It's our farm. I thought that Clint and Natasha were fucking. So like, color me confused that he's got this whole forest house with these kids.
Me
so,
too.
Yeah.
And,
right?
I think Laura, who was, what's her name from Dead
Linda
Cardellini.
Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
I felt like she, when she was like, what's going on with Bruce and Natasha? And then Clint was like, what do you mean? Because he's like, I thought he was like, I'm into her. Was that a thing? Because he didn't know that they were in a couple.
I don't know.
Okay, well, there was something weird about that.
To me, the Bruce and Natasha relationship came out of nowhere. So I'm on Clint's side. I don't know what Linda Carlini is talking about, where she's like, everyone can see it.
I know. That wasn't true. It's like I'm picking up on a lot of context clues through paying close attention. And I've understood now that they're together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just weird. So Steve and Tony argue while Natasha and Bruce discuss running away together. Bruce tells Natasha he can't give her the life that he assumes that she wants, kids, because he's a monster. And Natasha responds by revealing that the Red Room sterilized her to make her a more efficient killer, because I guess a uterus would, like, hinder you from murder, and that she's a monster, too. Boy, I screamed.
I thought it was extremely fucked up. And I thought it was very wrong to even put the word monster in that sentence. I thought that was so fucked up. Because it's like, you were a victim and you were abused by these people. And I can't. I thought that was so crazy. And I also thought it was weird that he assumed the life she wants was like kids and stuff. Because I was like, do you see what she does all day? It's like, she's not giving the vibe of trying to settle down.
She's literally out here in these streets, jumping from dude to dude, trying to murder.
Yeah.
Cutting her hair, straightening her hair, curling her hair. She has no time.
Changing from ugly wig to ugly wig, saying, put more bronzer in where it doesn't fucking belong.
She's extremely occupied.
The dialogue that they gave the Hulk or whatever his name is, Bruce, where he's just like, I don't know. The things you want are not the things I give. Everybody knows. I don't know. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
This is like trying to be like romantic, I guess. But it just was weird. This whole vibe of this movie was weird.
I agree. I thought this was like such a dark, deep moment to have, like, with the conversation they're actually having that she was sterilized as a child. I was like, this is a very heavy abuse topic, and it's thrown into the middle of this silly movie. Like, it was just like so unnecessary, and I assume that's from the comics or something. Like, why, that must be real, right? Like, why would they put that
from the comics?
I believe it is. I don't know 100%. They do. So just last year, you know, almost a decade after it should have happened, Black Widow got her solo movie. And they touched on this very briefly using a character played by Florence Pugh, who just like very succinctly did a little, what's the word I'm thinking of? Backtracking, I guess. Like she made it into a joke that was more of like a feminist joke about it. So I appreciated that a lot.
Okay. Well, they're trying to fix it.
Yeah. And Florence Pugh has the right sort of like energy for that.
I'm not familiar with her work. However, I did look up literally an audio button on how to pronounce her name the other night, 'cause I was like, it can't be Pugh.
It is close.
I was like, it can't be though, right?
It's
and then
Pew?
I pressed the button and it was like, pew. And I was like, good.
Pew.
Good. We're good. We're good here.
I'll explain. The joke in Black Widow, someone makes a joke about her being angry because she's on her period. And she says, I don't have one. I was sterilized. Fuck you. Which is a nice way to reclaim. That's what I was thinking of. Reclaim that sort of narrative.
But I would like it if she, because she's Black Widow and she's a spider and spiders have eight legs. I would like it if she had eight periods.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I'm on all eight of them. Boy. There's still so much more of this summary.
Oh, of course there is.
So much fucking happens in this movie that I just did not care about.
Well, let's see if you liked this part. So Nick Fury, still presumed dead, arrives at the farm. Banner deduces that Ultron is planning to create a body made of synthetic tissue using the regeneration cradle device developed by Dr. Helen Cho. Meanwhile, Thor travels with Dr. Selvig to the mystical Water of Sight to get answers. He needs to learn about the existence of the six Infinity Stones. Yeah, that was like a really big deal. Like he got in the fucking, and is that, are we going to talk about it later? Or is it, we're talking about it now?
I think that's the scene.
He got into the, into the like hot spring, and it was like where he started like tweaking out and he was like, his eyes were rolling back and he was like having all sorts of visions. And then the doctor was like, Thor, like he was like trying to interrupt it. And I was like, you got to let him, you put him in here thinking this is what's going to happen. And then he seemed to want to stop it. I was like, you got to let all the visions happen, buddy. You're the doctor here.
Yeah, I don't know. And then these Infinity Stones. So there's six of them? So we've only seen this is the third one.
Well, yeah, we've seen the MCU's seen four. We've seen three.
I didn't realize we
skipped Thor: The Dark World, which introduces one as well.
Oh, I didn't know we were collecting the stones. I didn't notice that.
Oh,
I
are we ever?
We're collecting them, I think, to get to that fucking the dude with the chin. He gets them for a glove.
Thanos.
Yep.
Thanos' glove. Yeah, has all the Infinity Stones, I think, right?
Whenever I know something, I'm so proud. I'm like, yep, that was Thanos.
Yeah. I did it. I know about it.
Love it.
Okay, so indeed, Ultron, Pietro, and Wanda go to Dr. Cho's laboratory in Seoul, South Korea, where Ultron kidnaps and brainwashes the doctor as Ultron transfers his consciousness into the synthetic body and Cho implants the gem from Loki's scepter into its forehead. Wanda looks into Ultron's mind and discovers his plan to destroy humanity. Shocked, the twins say, "We gotta get out of here!" They leave.
And while Tony tries to stop Ultron from hacking nuclear codes in Oslo, Captain America, Black Widow, and Hawkeye arrive in Seoul and battle Ultron. Ultron kidnaps Natasha and derails a train. The twins switch sides and join Captain America's rescue mission on the train, while Hawkeye retrieves the regeneration cradle and takes it back to Avengers Tower.
I just feel like these twins really just jumped ship quick. There was no thought. And then, wait, is this where fucking Hawkeye's like, "Hey, buddy, when you step out there, you're an Avenger. But if you don't step out there, I got to protect you." Oh, shit. That I hated that. I really I hated so much of this movie.
It's a lot like the Fast and the Furious, where you will be a villain 1 minute and then just welcomed into the club.
Yeah, but it makes sense when it happens on Fast and the Furious. So thank you.
Well, there's one other.
I'm kidding, Leah.
There's one character from Guardians who will become a hero later on. And that's what I probably should have used that.
Is that the blue lady?
Yeah.
Oh, she becomes good?
Yep.
Okay.
Who's blue?
The one who's just like, "Oh, yeah, Dad."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She has like a weird voice. Yeah. Thanks, Dad. She didn't. She also like gets up and like walks really sexy. Like I
know she had like a good butt. I was like, yeah, I don't know about this like Avatar character having like a great a great human body. It just feels like it just feels that's just for us, you know? Mm-hmm. That's not really like how the character needs to be.
That's just for us.
I like that I said I should have a great American body though. I don't know.
That's Captain America.
I don't
great
even know what I mean.
American body. Mm-hmm.
Steve Rogers is a great American body. Oh, did you like when they were chopping wood?
At one point, Captain America just rips the wood. And I was like, well, if you could have been ripping wood the whole time, why are we chopping it?
Yeah, he's just doing it for appearances.
And then fucking Thor whizzed away for a while, like for a long time. It was like they couldn't get him to work more days than they promised him.
He didn't want to stay at all.
He had to take a bath.
He did. He had to take a long bath.
I see.
Okay, so at Avengers Tower, Stark and Banner upload Jarvis into the synthetic body. Steve, Wanda, and Pietro don't want him to go through with it. A skirmish erupts and ends when Thor arrives and brings the android to life with lightning. Thankfully, the android is friendly and played in the flesh by Paul Bettany. He's so friendly, in fact, that he's worthy of wielding Thor's hammer. Okay, see, I didn't get that. That's what that meant. I thought it meant he was super strong.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny that you just have to be friendly to handle this hammer.
It's a good test. So it's like the sword and the stone, like where you only a certain person can pull it out.
Wait a minute. So this man, this body's exhibit man, just has one of the Infinity Stones just straight up in his head?
Yeah.
Forever? Uh-huh. He's an Infinity he is the stone? That's not going to fit on a glove. Thor explains that the gem in the android's head is the Mind Stone. The twins and the android, who will later name himself Vision. He named himself. He's really high on himself. Okay. To name yourself Vision.
I am Vision.
I'm Vision. Wow. Okay. What are you, a cafe gratitude? They, uh-huh. a very niche joke for people in Southern California.
If anyone wants to know, if you go to Cafe Gratitude, you have to order off them. Each thing is called I am something, and it's like I am grateful. I am light. And then you have to say that to order your meal. It's really embarrassing.
So they ally themselves with the Avengers, who return to Slokodabia on a tip from Nat to end Ultron's threat once and for all.
Arriving in Sokovia, the Avengers find that Ultron has used various pieces of technology to build a machine that lifts the Sokovian capital into the sky. This part was scary. His intent is to crash it into the Earth to replicate a meteor strike, causing a mass extinction event. While Bruce rescues Natasha, the Avengers evacuate civilians and fight Ultron's army of robots as the city begins to ascend.
Black Widow kisses Bruce Banner, pushes him off the ledge, being like, I need to be gang, forcing him to transform into the Hulk. Meanwhile, Hawkeye gives Wanda Maximoff the encouragement she needs to be a superhero. I hate it, this part. When you step out there, you'll be an Avenger. But if you stay here, I have to like take care of you and stuff. And like, I got a lot to do. I got arrows to do. Fury and the remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D. joined by War. Who's War Machine?
Rhodey.
His name is War Machine?
Yeah, that's the name he gave himself.
These people, Vision, War Machine, this is embarrassing. And a reinstated Maria Hill. Who's Maria Hill?
Kobe Smulders.
Oh, yeah.
She was uninstated?
Well, we watched this. She went to work at Stark Industries at the end of Winter Soldier because S.H.I.E.L.D. had Hydra agents, so they all got new jobs.
Oh, I see. Well, they arrive in a helicarrier to assist in evacuating the last few civilians. This is one of the few movies where, like, they save people instead of just murdering everybody.
Yeah, that's nice, kind of.
Yeah. But they didn't save everyone. Like, there was that one part where that woman was in her car and it was flying through the sky going downward. Mm-hmm. And then Thor, like, flung her up and then Captain America, like, grabbed her and pushed her over. And I was like, there were literally other cars falling next to her. Like, I was like...
She was the hottest lady. You gotta save the hottest.
It was a really scary way to be saved, but it was great. And I was so happy for her.
Mm-hmm. There was a group of people in South Africa who got saved out of an elevator. And there was this one extra lady who made me laugh so hard. You gotta watch the extras. They're really funny because they're all in different movies.
Yeah, I need to be paying more attention.
It's great.
So the Avengers wipe out most of Ultron's drones and severely damage Ultron's primary body. In retaliation, Ultron hijacks the Avengers' Quinjet and kills Pietro. Hulk leaps into the jet and tosses Ultron out of the rear hatch. Ultron crash lands in an abandoned tram where Wanda finds and destroys him by ripping his heart out.
Do you know what it feels like to die? What it feels like to die? Something I saw. And...
like this monologue in this accent were wild. As I was watching, I was like, I cannot believe I can't believe people willingly went to a theater to watch this. Okay, once the evacuation is complete, Thor and Iron Man combine forces to shatter the city into rubble, which falls safely, how convenient, into a nearby lake. Hulk flees in the Quinjet, which was funny because she was like, hey, big guy, you got to turn off invisibility mode. And he was like, won't do it. I fucking hate you.
I hate her talking to him like that.
I don't like it either. It's like this weird baby talk and calling him big guy.
It's weird.
So Ultron's consciousness attempts to flee in the last remaining drone, but Vision confronts him. The two have a brief philosophical exchange before Vision effectively kills him.
The Avengers established a new HQ and training facility in upstate New York. Believing the Mind Stone is safe with Vision, Thor returns to Asgard to learn more about the Infinity Stones. Captain America and Black Widow welcome new members to the Avengers, consisting of Wanda Maximoff, Sam Wilson, James Rhodes, and Vision. Now, the Avengers are getting pretty big.
Mm-hmm, too big.
In a mid-credits tease, Thanos retrieves a golden glove called the Infinity Gauntlet, saying, fine, I'll do it myself. Oh my God, we did it.
Who's Sam Wilson, James Rhodes?
James Rhodes is
Rhodes
Cheeto.
Is Rhodey.
Oh God.
Sam Wilson is Anthony Mackie.
Oh yes. Oh, I thought he was already part of the Avengers. Oh,
yeah. I guess he was too. Just hanging out. I guess it was like it wasn't formally invited
God,
until today.
How wild.
I'm so happy for him. So
me too.
That was intense. Now
it was a lot.
In our awards section. Age of Ultron wasn't nominated for any major awards, but it did win a Saturn Award for Best Film Costume Design and a People's Choice Award for Favorite Action Movie Character for Chris Hemsworth.
That's funny because he's barely in the movie.
Yeah, I know. He really isn't.
He spins around and leaves.
It's true.
So reception, the film had a huge box office success, raking in worldwide a total of $1.4 billion.
Oh, making my God.
The fifth highest grossing movie of all time. It also set a worldwide IMAX opening weekend with 25.2 million previously held by The Dark Knight Rises.
It's crazy how the pandemic has changed what a box office means, because that's like so crazy. That's so much
that's
money.
That's nuts.
Oh my God. It holds a 76% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, down quite a bit from the 91% that the first Avengers movie holds. Audience has, however, given an A on the CinemaScore poll. I think 76 is pretty solid in the way people rate things.
I think so. Mm. Richard Rupert wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times, "Someday, an Avengers film might collapse under the weight of its own awesomeness. I mean, how many times can they save the world? But this is not the day."
Wow. He's a big fan.
Richard loved it.
Let's go to a quick break, and we'll be back with more Age of Ultron after this.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back.
With some trivia! ScarJo was pregnant during filming, and apparently her many stunt doubles confused the other actors. Chris Evans said it got to the point where he would start a conversation with one of the stunt doubles. Oh, no. Only to realize midway through that he wasn't talking to Johansson.
I am praying that that was like a joke that he said in an interview, and then someone like just wrote it out like it was a fact. Like because it sounds like you could say like they looked so much like her. I started talking to one. I didn't realize it wasn't her until I told her my whole life story, you know, or whatever. Like, but that I'm just hoping that's the case because that's wild. And that whoever that was probably really happy that he was talking to them, and then like halfway through he's like, "So Scarlett," and then they're like, "I'm Brenda."
I'm Brenda.
Because they've known each other for a long time, Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson. They've like done lots of movies together.
It also means that he like doesn't give a shit about her. He's just like, whatever, I just need a body to talk to. Oh, you're not the body I'm used to.
This one's not pregnant.
I really wonder how they worked around her pregnancy, because that seems really challenging with the body suits and all the things that she's wearing. Like, how did they do that?
That's probably why she ended up kidnapped halfway through the movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, to play Ultron, actor James Spader had to wear an antenna-like contraption made out of a thick piece of wire with two red balls that represented the placement of his eyes attached to the top that went up his entire back and 3 feet above his head. Elizabeth Olsen said this was distracting. Spader was also always giving such an intense performance that she would look him in the eyes out of instinct. Whenever this happened, Aaron Taylor-Johnson would yell, "Red balls! Look at his balls, Lizzie," to get her to look in the right place.
Wow, this movie seems like a free-for-all. The working title for this film was After Party.
I'm obsessed with these titles that they'll never use. Like, there's no way it's going to be called that. In the first trailer, Ultron recites No Strings on Me, a Pinocchio song from 1940, a Walt Disney film about an inanimate being who gains sentience. Ultron serves as a dark parallel of Pinocchio, and the song is briefly in the film as well.
Yes. When I watched this, I was like, yes, Ultron is Pinocchio.
Yeah. I was like, yep, that's who that is. And then I was like, this reminds me of that. And then, yeah, that's like what I kept saying. Yeah.
Okay. So this segment, is Chris in this? So it's a yes or no conversation. If a Chris was in this. Chris's were in this. A Hemsworth, yes. And Evans.
We had multiple Chris's, maybe too many. Mm-hmm. I think that should there have been another Chris? You know, I'm looking for more female Chris names. Who in the world are we forgetting when we think of this segment that should be in this? Kristen Stewart. You know, would she ever be Marvel? I feel like she could be like a
Kristen
superhero.
Stewart, I think she would do it. She's in one big franchise, Twilight.
Yeah. Have you seen Spencer?
No, I hear it's very good.
I want to watch good. That. I got to watch
it. It's really good.
Maybe I'll watch scary. That tonight.
It's scary?
Yeah, it's a little bit of like a psychological thriller.
Not expecting that.
Me
I have my
either.
Parents
I'm
in
into
town,
was I.
And I feel like this is a good parents movie. I have my parents here and I think I'll throw that on. I'll throw that on and see if we all like that. Because famously, I did meet Princess Diana when I was 10 years old. I did.
You did?
Yeah, so I'll be able to judge this performance.
This is not authentic to the Princess Di that I know.
I met her because she came to my hometown of Evanston, Illinois. She was visiting the president of Northwestern University, and she went to like a couple like galas and things in town. And there was a moment where we knew where she was going to be, and it was like pretty close to where I grew up. And so we all ran over there, and I took pictures of her on a disposable camera, but I'm not in them because I was just taking pictures on a camera. And that's it. It was crazy. She's wearing a mint green pantsuit. I mean, a skirt suit.
Okay.
So if you look it up, once you went to Evanston, you will see that it's all real. And then somebody actually, I'm going to say this again because I said it on a podcast and somebody sent me a link and I didn't get to go down a rabbit hole. They sent me a link of all the paparazzi photos from that excursion where they were like, maybe you're in one of these. And so I'm like, I need that to be sent to me again. I could never find it again. It was like an Associated Press or something link.
I hope you're in paparazzi photos.
I need this because like I was in a crowd of people and I'm sure that, you know, maybe you'll see the top of my head or something. It was very exciting.
I love that.
Yeah. So now for our segment, is Kiss in this? This is a segment where we talk about if a kiss was in this film. Was there a kiss?
There was a kiss. Natasha, the Baron monster, kisses that man so he becomes the green monster.
Yes.
And then she pushes him off a ledge, which is like, whoa.
I know. Like I was like, does he have to be pushed off? I guess he gets mad, so he like flies back up.
Well, he's mad and horny.
I know. He flew back up.
Despite all of their flirting, the kiss was not a romantic kiss.
No.
It was a mean kiss. It was a trick kiss.
It was a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
I guess there was like romantic things that happened, but I mean, it's not romantic begging a man to shower with him.
No, he didn't seem interested. And I was confused by that too. But then we also had Linda Cardellini. Maybe she kissed, you know, old Jeremy Renner.
Maybe.
Because there was, she was like, hi, honey. That part was.
And then she like rubbed where his wound was. And she's like, I can tell the difference.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
She said, I'm always supportive of your avenging, which I bet Joss Whedon thought was very funny.
It's very much like someone being like, oh yeah, are you still improving?
Yeah, you know me, still out here avenging. I'll do it wherever I can.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the farm storyline.
It's weird.
Hawkeye in the comics, famous divorcee. Famous divorcee, bachelor, hot mess.
Oh.
Interesting. Well, it's not what they were showing us here today.
No. Too wholesome.
Very. And like, oh, this is what he really wants. Like, this is a secret life he wants to have. It just seems surprising. Okay, time for Five Star Industries. This is where we read reviews. Someone named Hufflepuff at Hogwarts says, MCU fan here. This podcast is painful to listen to as a fan of the things it's about. I definitely mean this in the absolute best way possible. 10 out of 10, you need to listen. Now, that threw me for a loop, but I didn't think that our producers would put in a negative review. So it is 5 stars.
I mean, I'm sure people who listen are going to be really upset with me for this episode. Leah, did you like this movie?
No, not at all.
Okay,
I do like the Avengers.
Oh,
That's one of my favorites. So that was, but this one I did not like. I didn't like where they took the characters. I didn't like.
Is there another one?
Romance. I thought it was sexist. Yeah. Another Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Infinity War and Endgame, which is like a two part. Yeah. I'm worried for Infinity War. Endgame will be more fun, but Infinity War has a lot of plot.
Oh God. Plot.
Oh no.
Plot.
Oh no.
And then Captain America Civil War has Tony Stark and a lot of the other Avengers in it. So it kind of feels like Avengers 2.5.
No, I love the standalone movies.
It's not Joss Whedon. So maybe you'll like it more. We'll see.
I loved Buffy, and like the quippiness that he likes to do didn't work for me in this movie.
Yeah.
That was just like corny.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, this season, in addition to Apple reviews of newcomers, we'll also be reading reviews from Letterboxd. We're going to give a one-sentence review and a star rating. And if you don't know what Letterboxd is, it's a social platform where people can write reviews of films. You can follow the show on Letterboxd at newcomers.
Okay. My review is... Oh, wait. First, I'll read this review from somebody we don't know. 3 stars. Whoever greenlit Natasha and Bruce's sudden relationship is my enemy, and they must be stopped.
I agree, Ellie Bean. This person said, I hate to say it, but Ultron is kind of hot.
I agree. That's the most sexually attractive character to me in the film. And my review is, I wish Ultron and Vision hooked up.
Ooh, and my review is, I raise a thumbs up to that. Oh my God. That was a bad sentence, but I stand by it.
I raise a thumb to that.
And what you can't see listening is I literally raised my thumb to that.
Mm-hmm.
My star rating is a 1.
Wow. Oh, I forgot to rate it a star. I would give it 2.5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of loose with my stars.
Yeah, I'm tight with my stars. Leah, how tight are you with your stars? And what's your review?
Oh boy. Let me see. Oh, here. I'll cheat and I'll say what I put on Letterboxd when I logged this. I liked it when Natasha said beep beep.
Okay.
That's it.
That's a great review.
And I'll do 2 stars.
Wow. All
right. 2 stars. Leah, we've come to the end. Oh, wait.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
I don't want to ask you to promote anything yet. So listen to this on, write a review on Apple Podcasts because we're going to pick one for next week. And also, you can rate the podcast on Spotify. Now, Leah.
Yes.
What you want to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at Leah Marilla. You can follow me on Letterboxd at Leah Marilla. I am writing all over the place. I'm at Slash Film. I'm at Polygon. I'm at Cosmopolitan. And I am recapping Moon Knight for Vulture. So that's Marvel related.
Ooh.
Great. And you should check me out there.
Well, that'll come in handy.
How I've seen those episodes early.
Oh, good for you. That's fun. That show looks fun. Well, we'll be back next week with Ant-Man, which I think might be funny. I like Paul Rudd.
Okay. I've actually seen this one.
It's funny.
But I don't remember.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, we'll just see you next week and talk about the Ant-Man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.